Greetings again, my brothers and sisters. Ariel Stroman here, back with you again on day three. And I'm still on the thought from Psalms 138, verse 3. I'll just quote it here. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, another day, Lord, that you grant us new grace, Lord, new grace every morning, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you have done in my life and in the lives of my dear brothers and sisters, Lord. So just give us today, Lord, our daily bread, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to start by reading in Exodus chapter 14. And in this setting, it's Moses and the people of Israel by the shores of the Red Sea. And the sea before him, and the Egyptians behind him. So let's just read from verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." I'll just pause there. Now, this is something that Moses carried within him. This is something God had spoken to Moses. Moses knew that he was going to lead this people out and into the promised land. But yet, here he finds himself facing the Red Sea. And behind him, he sees the dust of thousands of soldiers and their horses and buggies or chariots, you know, making huge dust clouds in the horizon behind them there. So when he then is facing the sea, and of course, say approximately about 2 million people with him, still he doesn't know, you know, where is the route? Where is the way? Where do we go from here? He just knew that the Lord was going to bring them out. So in that situation, there's also a desperation in Moses rising up. And the people probably can't tell because the Bible doesn't say that he speaks out loud or cries out loud. But the Lord just speaks to Moses here in verse 15. "Why do you cry to me?" Or the NIV translation says, "Why are you crying out to me?" So there was a desperation within him. And the Lord just said, "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." That's pretty strange, you know, because all he sees is water. But then the Lord also adds this, and he says, "Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the people of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And of course, one of the most amazing things in history happens, where the water just parts and they can walk across on dry land, and the Lord fulfills his word that he spoke to him in verse 13, "And you shall see, and the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever, because they drowned in the Red Sea and the Lord delivered them." And I believe there was a bold servant of God crossing that Red Sea on dry land. And so the people too. Even though we know it didn't last long, but that's a different story, where they would murmur pretty quick. Now, with the examples I've made, you know, over these short messages, it may seem like, well, you're picking out every situation where God intervenes, you know, where when God delivers, when a soul cries out to him. And of course, it is in God's intention to hear his people out and to deliver them. But you also have another side if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. This time it's Paul pleading with the Lord. And just read from verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And when Paul here in three different situations pleaded, oh Lord, please take this thorn off of me. The point here is the Lord didn't take the thorn away from him. But still, he did bring an answer. Because he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So crying out or pleading, you know, doesn't give us what we want, but it will give us an answer. And the thing is, God knows what's best for you and I. So we can ask him of anything. There's no limits to what we can ask or cry out to God for or plead him for. But we may not always like the answer. But when God answers, it's always the right answer and always the best answer. And now some situations we find ourselves in, we know that, you know, we're to blame for it ourselves. And sometimes we're put in situations and we don't know at all how we got there. And also, I want to just share from Daniel chapter 2. Because in this situation, Daniel and the Hebrew boys were put in a position where they had nothing to do with what had happened. Yet, the king had their lives on an edge because he had had a dream and there was no one that could interpret it. And in this situation, I believe there was a lot of pleading, especially amongst the Chaldeans, because you read here in verse 2, in Daniel 2, then the king gave the command to call all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And for them, it was impossible, you know, king, we can't tell you a dream that you've had. But verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. And verse 12, for this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon because they had tried to plead with him. They tried, you know, tell us a dream and then we'll interpret it for you. But nope, the king was determined. You tell me the dream and the interpretation without me telling it to you. And that's impossible. And these Babylonians, wise men, were desperate. They were pleading, but they were calling out to the wrong God. And that's so beautiful about this story. What did Daniel do? How desperate was he? Because his life was on the line too. He was also a counselor for the king, a man of wisdom that he would turn to. So what did he do? Well, in verse 17, he went to his house and he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you know, his companions, you know, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then, verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And that's how the Lord can do it. He just gives you a revelation in the middle of the night, and then you know exactly what to do. And now, reading that to say this, you know, on Monday when I shared the testimony about me witnessing to my boss, me or my colleague, and realizing I would not get the chance to share my story with him. You know, I also told you that the Lord gave me a dream to explain to me, you know, what I would do in situations like this. And I'll share the dream. It's a short, simple one. And in the dream, I was in at a and I had that around the same time as I shared as I was testifying to my former boss. And the dream was I was in like in a big construction area with lots of scaffolds and pipes and a pretty big area. And I met this person that I knew from my youth. And we used to hang out a little bit in high school. And I know him today. He's a big, tough guy. Bunch of tattoos and just, you know, living a worldly life. But in this dream, this man came to me and he said, "Arya, can you help me?" And I said, "Sure, I'll help you." And then he said, "Well, you see, it's like the situation is I've lost my wallet and I can't find it. Will you help me find it?" And I thought, this is a big area. "Yeah, sure, I'll help you find it." And then I turned away from him to start to look for his wallet. And as soon as I looked away from him, the Lord inspired me. And he said, "Tell him your own experience about when that time when you lost your wallet." And then I went back to him and I turned to him and I said, "Hey, can I tell you something first?" And then I told him of an experience that had happened, you know, many, many years ago when I had lost my wallet and how the Lord miraculously restored it. And tears were just streaming down his cheeks, and we hugged and embraced each other, me and this tough guy. And then I woke up from the dream. And then I realized, you know, when I combined this dream to the situation that I shared about witnessing to my boss, you know, the Lord was just telling me, your own story is enough. Whenever you come in situations to reach out to people, to testify to people, tell them what the Lord has done for you. And that was the lesson I learned from that. And I can also share the testimony of the story maybe tomorrow or Friday. So I will close with that for now and just wish you a great rest of the day and God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.